I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Grant McCauley here. Let's talk some Braves. And look, I'd love to say you have answers when it comes to being 3 for 30 at the plate, but I know you don't. I know you don't have any answers when it comes to saying that. Last night, before we get into some of the other particulars, again, another struggle, man. And it doesn't matter who we're throwing out there right now. I just want to see progress. I keep talking about this. Guys are like, what do you want to see, Dukes? I want to see progress from the players that are playing and the guys that are going to get opportunities. What happened last night, Grant?
Yeah, well, more of the same of what we've seen this year. It's just been a struggle, to use the exact vernacular and phrase that you just used and that we've been talking about pretty much all season long. I mean, even when you have those nights where the Braves break out, they have that big inning, they put up a big number, you just can't count on it to be the same the next night. And even from that very simple approach factor, and look, now that you're dealing with a lineup that doesn't have Ronald Acuña Jr., that doesn't have Austin Riley, that's not helping matters. But this is a Braves club that has struggled without those guys at times this year and with those guys at times this year. So, to your point, there's not really an answer about it, but you would like to see some kind of progress. And I guess we're getting some of that with Ozzie Albies. We're getting some of that with Michael Harris, obviously. It's just trying to get everybody rowing that boat or pulling that rope in the same direction has been, again, to use that word, a struggle.
I know, Grant, that when you are as far out as the Braves are now, some Braves fans don't want to hear it, but a lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line today saying, for better or for worse, can we just find a way out what we have with Nacho Alvarez? And is he a legitimate option to be in this infield next year if you did decide to move on from Ozzie?
Yeah, I think that really the thing with Nacho that the Braves have recognized and really knew from the moment that they drafted him was he's a natural third baseman. They moved him around the diamond, but the place that he excels is third base. And the Braves have a third baseman under contract for a very long time that, just frankly, Nacho Alvarez is not going to out-hit even in a down year. Austin Riley is, you know, ultimately one of the better sluggers on the team. When he's going right, he's one of the better sluggers in the National League. So you're just not going to replace him. As far as second base is concerned, I still am, you know, just not convinced that the Braves are going to just cut ties with Ozzie Albies, decline that option, and move on. Because you have to go about the business of replacing him. And I can't tell you that trying out Ozzie at $7 million next year is not worth finding out what you have or what he is or what he's not at that point, rather than just handing the keys to Nacho Alvarez, a relative unknown, and saying, we hope you can live up to the lofty standards that a healthy all-star level Ozzie Albies has set at this position. That's a pretty tall order.
What happens? Do you think they go get a second baseman? Do you believe that? Do you think they in the free agent market, how they approach that in the offseason, or you feel like there's someone in the organization that can fill that void at this point, Grant?
No, there's no one in the organization, in my eyes, that can fill that void. And secondly, well, really first, the first part of your question, I don't really feel like second base is the area that they're targeting as much as they'd like to, I think, solve the shortstop problem. That's been one for – you know, right. If you want to give Orlando Arcia the benefit of the doubt in 2023, that makes total sense. But the last couple of years has been a real struggle. And it's not to say that, you know, Nick Allen is not capable of doing the thing in the field. The real issue for Nick Allen has been that his offensive profile is nil. There's just really not one. So that, I think, is probably a bigger priority. Obviously, they're married to Jerks and Profar in left field for the time being. So if I were looking at areas that they immediately would want to strengthen, their outfield production has got to get a lot better, which it could with a better Michael Harris and a healthy Ronald Acuña Jr. and maybe a full season of Jerks and Profar. But if I had to pick one position to point at, it would be shortstop.
I wanted Willie Adames last year. He's been pretty slow start. He's got 17 home runs. I don't know what the expectation was for the Giants.
Cost was too much,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was too much money, 59. Is there anybody, Grant, that comes to mind that would be out there?
Not off the top of my head, but I think this is where, and we were talking about this the other day after the trade deadline, conversations that can happen around the deadline that you revisit over the course of the winter. And here's a really interesting one that I saw come up from Dan Haynes of The Athletic, and he covers the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if this has gotten across your desk yet or on your radar, but it certainly got my attention. when Alex Anthopoulos told me that, look, we were looking to find players who could make sense for us in 2026 and beyond, and we had some of those conversations about buying some of those players at the deadline, even though they're far out of it, one of the names is Byron Buxton. Now, Byron Buxton is a fascinatingly talented player who has dealt with his fair share of injuries and then some over the course of his career. He was not willing to waive his no-trade clause with anything that was approached by the Minnesota Twins on that side. I don't have any further details other than to say that the Mets and the Braves were very interested in him, with the Braves making the biggest push, according to that report from The Athletic. So it just kind of goes to show the conversations that Alex was kind of talking about. You can talk to lots of clubs about just about anybody. Nobody's going to be offended because it's the time of year to do it. Maybe that starts to get the wheels in motion for something. And I certainly don't mind the idea of a Byron Buxton being in that outfield. You want to talk about an athletic, defensively gifted outfield?
Home run pop, you can sign me up.
Yeah, right. Home run pop, Byron Buxton, Michael Harris II, and Ronald Acuna Jr. Yeah, I'd be all over that.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, joining us. Game two of the series tonight continues as we talk Braves with you here. Coming up, our interview with Ryan Neusel, starting center for our Atlanta Falcons, and more on what's going on around the NFL as things are happening, including a wide receiver suspended for the first three games, which will affect his game against us, against the Atlanta Falcons. Grant, when we talk about, you know, bringing guys back, do you really think Chris Sale is going to be back and pitch at any point this season?
I think that he is progressing and making his way back. The unfortunate thing is I'm not sure that any of the other injured Braves pitchers can really say as much. With Sale, it was a freak injury. You needed time to let it heal, and hopefully he's just able to progress right through this. And I know he's throwing now and has been since around, right around the All-Star break. And so maybe he's going to graduate that and ramp that up and be back maybe by the end of the month. Maybe it's more of a September thing. There's no firm timetable on it, but you know, Spencer Schwellenbach, it does not sound like or look like he's going to be pitching again this year. Ronaldo Lopez, it's a possibility, but again, no firm timetable on him. We did find out about Joe Jimenez today. He has been shut down in Florida from throwing because he's having discomfort in his surgically repaired knee. So that's kind of the update on where the pitching staff is. I know you asked about Sale, but I wanted to give you all of the MASH unit guys that we've kind of talked about over the course of this year, which unfortunately is quite a list, but I do think that Sale will pitch again this year. I think he expects to pitch again this year, and hopefully we'll be able to see that and get him into the winter, because I think there is value of having gotten some innings under your belt and feeling like you're going into the winter healthy and not off the heels of an injury and a rehab process.
You know, the guys, Grant McCauley joins us for next year. Just to go show that we're back in this thing and we want to get the pitching right, I'd love to see them just crank up the Brinks truck, back it up for Dylan Cease. What is that Dylan Cease contract going to look like wherever he signs?
It's going to look pretty expensive, I can tell you that. I mean, Max Fried, who's a little bit older, got a pretty good amount. And I think Max has a better pedigree than Dylan Cease has. But in terms of the stuff and what it's supposed to look like, Cease is right there. But I also feel like he's kind of been an underperformer in his time in San Diego. He hasn't really had that big season that you would expect or the one that you'd want heading into free agency. But, yeah, you know, there are teams out there that are going to pay for the arm talent, the projectability, and, you know, the idea of a Dylan Cease. But I'm just not sure what he gets in terms of years, but I'm going to imagine the AAV on that deal is probably going to be in the 25 plus million per year. Is that a 6-year deal, 7-year deal, 7 and an option? Not really sure, but there will be multiple clubs after him. It will be interesting to see where exactly he lands and what exactly that market looks like, because there are just a lot more questions around him than some of the other big money deals we've seen pitchers sign in free agency.
Grant, good stuff, man. Appreciate you. We'll see what they do tonight. Hopefully they don't go 3-for-30. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Look, there's nothing you can say about a performance like that, and that's kind of been, you know, our season. But I'm not surprised at this point, again, with the lineup that they're throwing out there, and there are some guys who are trying to prove themselves. But Mike's right about how you're starting to look at this. And, look, we need to approach this in a way, and I'm talking about Alex Anthopoulos, the front office, and Mike, I'm hoping. I don't know this for a fact.
Right.
But nothing is off the table. You can't go into the offseason and say, well, we're willing to pay this but not that. It's a losing cause. You've got to go into the offseason and say, who are the best starting pitchers available? Who might we trade for, and what's the cost of that? And let's look at everything. And if you do that, then we're going to be able to get a couple of guys in here that I think are going to be able to help us. But if you go in with the attitude like, well, if it's more than 30 a year, we're not going to do it. Well, then we're not going to get what we need.
This gets me back to what we said earlier in the show. We don't, We're talking about dynasties, how you missed the boat on one. You had to go all in 2022. You know, keep Dansby, keep Freddie. Yeah, we're coming to the turnstiles. We're filling up the battery. Spend some loot. Let's go. So much better than parking lots on the other side of 75.
Correct.
Let's put it in a ball club. You know, and that's where we need to be this year. But you know what we'll probably be talking about next year, Carl?
What's that?
Charlie Morton and Tyler Anderson.
They're going to bring Charlie back.
Charlie be literally like 56. You know, I'm so surprised Rich Hill isn't here. He got DFA'd by the Royals.
That's true.
We just saw him out in Kansas City. He's like 45. He's played for almost every team in the bigs. But, I mean, but that's the kind of where we need to be living. You know, I mean, a guy like Jack Flaherty, he's got a player option with the Tigers. All these guys are too expensive for what.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
But Alex has either been willing to or not allowed to spend on.
All right, man. Coming up, our conversation with Ryan Neusel, also what the NFL has banned and who got suspended today.
I use this stuff every day on the show. I can't believe they're going to ban it.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah. When I need a boost, when I need some energy.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll tell you what that substance is. It's not what you think. And Shador's
what are you talking about? I'm fine.
Shador is going to get some playing time, man. We'll tell you about all that and our conversation with Ryan Neusel here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.